He took a long drink of his wine, then turned his attention back to his plate. This time he didn't look up again, ignoring me. Now I felt like shit. My brother had done so much for me, and I wasn't showing my gratitude. I had an enormous secret to carry, but I obviously wasn't doing a good job pretending everything was normal. Case, I'm sorry. It's just... I spun my pasta around without any intention of taking a bite. I wasn't ready to share this information, but keeping it a secret would just make it worse. There's something I need to tell you. He looked up from his food, all of his anger gone as he sensed the pain in my voice. He set down his fork and gave me his full attention, staring at me with the same green eyes I possessed. When he was focused, he looked just as intense as Balto. They shared the same kind of silent aggression. I'm struggling to deal with it and I'm scared. I was going to keep it a secret as long as I could, but it's not the kind of secret I can keep forever.
All right. You're scaring me.
I exhaled the breath I was holding. I'm pregnant. The only reaction he gave was with his eyes. They widened slightly in surprise, but the reaction only lasted seconds before they returned to normal once more. He didn't take a single breath, frozen into place by what I'd said. I'm 2.5 months along. I'll start to show pretty soon. He slowly leaned back against the wooden chair, the furniture slightly creaking under his shift of weight. His arm rested on the table, and he stared with that empty expression, like he had no idea what to say about the revelation. I didn't blame him. It was unplanned, obviously. Now I don't know what to do.
You don't know if you want to keep it or not?
He cocked his head slightly, still reserved in light of the news. That wasn't what I meant at all. The thought had never crossed my mind. Even if the baby's father was a crime lord who wanted nothing to do with us, we were in this together. We were already a family. The pregnancy was unplanned and stressful, but I wouldn't change anything. I could handle it on my own, once I finally calmed down. Of course I want to keep it.
Even though Balto is the father?
Especially because he was the father. I loved that man, so obviously I would love his son or daughter. Yes. He leaned forward and crossed his arms on the table.
I don't know what to say, Sorella. That was the last thing I expected you to say. Based on your figure, I had no idea.
Give it a few more weeks, and my figure will be gone.
How do you feel about it?
I'm not sure. It's overwhelming, to say the least. I had no idea I was pregnant. It wasn't until you got me those tampons that I realized I hadn't had a period in a while. Everything has been so hectic lately, it just slipped my mind. He nodded slightly.
How do you think he'll react?
I stared at Case blankly, surprised he even asked the question. I'm not sure if I'm going to tell him. My brother stared at me in restrained surprise, one eyebrow arched while his hand reached for his wine. He pulled the glass toward him but didn't take a drink.
Why wouldn't you?
He was pretty straightforward when he said he didn't want a wife and kids. He made it abundantly clear that he preferred to spend his life as the Skull King, not as my man. He doesn't want this baby, and the last thing I need is to hear him say it. I already expected his dismissal, but if I had to watch it or listen to it, it would be a million times more painful. He'd tossed me aside and broke my heart. Being subjected to that again would be torture.
Even if that's his reaction, this is his kid. He has the right to know.
Even if...
It's his decision to make. Let him make it.
He took a drink of his wine and licked his lips.
I'm not looking to be a father either, but I would want to know if I knocked up some woman. I'd want to know that my son or daughter was out there.
Because you would be a father to them. Balto has no interest in that. He shrugged.
Maybe he'll feel differently when he knows you're pregnant.
He'd already told me he couldn't have children because it would be too dangerous. If he wanted to be part of our baby's life, he would have to leave the Skull Kings. Since that was the last thing he wanted, he would just resent me and our child. I wanted that man more than anything, but I didn't want him here just because I was having a baby.
Cassini?
My eyes met his.
You have to tell him, for better or worse.
Chapter 18. Balto.
I walked into the underground with my shirt over my shoulder. The men followed behind me with the taxes we'd collected. Millions of euros were stuffed into the leather bags to be placed in the vault. Tomorrow I would meet with Cato Marino, the owner of one of the biggest banks in Europe. He convinced me to keep some of our money in his vaults because it wasn't smart to store everything in one place. We descended farther underground until we arrived at the enormous vault with a circular door constructed out of the strongest metal in the world. Over 5 feet thick, the door was impossible to drill through. The men left the money, then disappeared, giving me privacy so I could turn the enormous wheel and enter the code for the door to unlock. I didn't use an electric passcode because that could be hacked. Old-fashioned locks had the better advantage. The only way someone was getting in here was if they got the code from me. And I wouldn't crack. I wouldn't die for money, but I would die for pride. I opened the door and revealed all the cash already stuffed inside.
"So you just never wear a shirt now?"
Heath's voice emerged from behind me. I turned around to look at him, displeased by his presence. He stepped farther into the room.
"Don't worry. I stepped inside after the door was open.
I don't let anyone down here.
I might be a thief, but I don't steal from my brother."
He crossed his arms over his chest and looked at the bags of money.
"Need help with this?"
"No." I picked up 2 bags, carried them into the vault, and then returned for 2 more.
"Seriously, what's with your shirt?"
he asked.
"Trying to encourage all of us to hit the gym?"
"Just you." I placed 2 more bags inside, then returned. I got blood on my shirt.
"And that bothers you?"
I pulled my shirt off my shoulder and held it out to him. It was white before. He examined the red blood that had turned the entire shirt the bold color.
"How did you manage that, and why are you keeping it?"
"Good point." I tossed it on the ground and kept working. "Some prick crossed me. I took care of it." He rolled his eyes.
"Why do they never learn?"
"They do learn, but they like to roll the dice." He shook his head.
"Gambling is never a good idea, if you're betting your life."
I finished loading the money, then shut the door. "Something you wanted?"
"Actually, yes."
He looked me in the eye once the door was shut and I was finished working.
"You look like shit."
I stared him down and noted his serious expression. "I did just work all night."
"That's not what I'm talking about, and you know it."
Ever since Cassini left, I'd been working all the time, trying to stay busy so I wouldn't think about her. That plan wasn't working so well. She came into my thoughts, no matter how hard I tried to forget her. When I closed my eyes, she was in my dreams. I replayed her final words to me over and over.
"I love you, Balto. I always will."
And I never said it back. The weak part of me hoped she would call, but she never did. Even if we only talked about the weather, it would be nice to hear her voice again, to know she was all right. I knew Case and Dirk would look after her just as well as I did. Heath kept staring at me.
"This is stupid, man."
"You're just saying that because you want to be king."
"Even if that's the case, I'm still right. Your heart isn't in this anymore. You're just going through the motions because you're scared."
"I'm not scared of anything." Heath didn't back down.
"You're scared to change your life. It's easier just to think about money and who you're going to kill later tonight, but that's not real life. It's just a job. Balto Cassini is your real life."
I was too proud to sacrifice everything I'd worked for just because of a woman. "If it's so insignificant, why do you want the job so bad?"
"Because I don't have anything else to live for. You do."
I stared him down.
"You know I'm right. Stop being so stubborn. If you're stubborn too long, she's going to find someone else. A woman like that doesn't stay single for long. She can walk into a bar on a Monday night and land more guys than she can handle."
Picturing Cassini surrounded by men with hard-ons made me want to punch a hole through the vault door. I hadn't been jealous before because there hadn't been a reason to be. She lived with me and stayed indoors all the time. I never had to worry about another man rivaling me. But now that she was single, she could be sleeping with someone at this very moment. It drove me crazy. Heath continued to watch me.
Can you honestly say you're happy?
No, but I'm never happy. I've never been happy. He crossed his arms over his chest.
You seemed pretty happy with her.
I turned away from the vault and walked out. He was close behind me.
Slept with anyone?
That question was too personal, so I didn't answer it.
That's a no.
Don't worry about my dick.
I'm not worried about your dick, I'm just proving a point.
You didn't prove anything. I stepped back into the bar area where the men were drinking. The men on my team drank their beer at a table, swapping stories about the crazy night we'd just had. There were a few casualties for our enemies.
It's been a month, and you haven't slept with anyone. You don't think that's weird?
I'm going home. Night, Heath. I entered the hallway and maneuvered to the parking garage where my truck was. Old and unremarkable, it allowed me to blend in with my surroundings. No one took the vehicle seriously, so I passed undetected through the city. My brother emerged behind me.
Can I get a ride?
Can you just go away? He jogged until he reached my side, a grin on his face.
You know I mean well, right?
You don't listen to what I say, so I doubt that.
I'm not supposed to listen to what you say, I'm your brother. It's my job to tell you the truth, especially when you don't want to hear it.
He approached the passenger door.
You want to stop for a drink?
We were just at the bar.
Yeah, but we're surrounded by idiots. Let's go somewhere quiet.
You mean somewhere with pussy? I got behind the wheel and fastened my safety belt. He shrugged.
You know me so well.
We went to a bar blocks from my house. It was a Thursday night, so it was quiet. Only a few people lingered after midnight, drinking what they could before 2 a.m. approached. There were a few beautiful women there, but judging by their forwardness, they were prostitutes. Probably Miss Lightning's girls. Heath talked about football for a while, his eyes drifting to a brunette who was making eyes at him from the opposite end of the bar. I didn't care about football, but it was better than listening to him talk about Cassini. I wondered what she was doing right now. Was she sleeping alone? It had only been a month. Would she have moved on by now? I was pretty cold to her, so she didn't owe me anything. A woman like her probably wouldn't wait after an asshole broke her heart. She shouldn't. But the idea of her being with someone else still drove me mad, made me want to drive to Case's house just to make sure she was there, alone. It was an assholish thing to think. I didn't want her, so someone else should have her. I just wanted him to be a good man, someone who worshipped her the way I did, who would die for her the way I would. I feared I was the only man in the world who had the balls to do it. It would kill me if she ended up with another piece of shit like Evan. But I knew she was too smart for that now. The brunette sauntered over to us, and I didn't realize she was there until she cleared her throat. I'd been thinking about Cassini so deeply I hadn't even noticed her. With a short black dress and heels, she had the body of a woman with a strict diet and an even stricter workout regimen. She wasn't an average whore. She cost a fortune because she was worth every penny. She moved to Heath and ran her palm down his chest.
You have pretty eyes.
So do you.
He turned on the stool and left his drink behind, his mind completely in the gutter.
But everything else you have is also pretty.
His hand rested against her knee, his fingertips touching her lightly. I turned the other way and ignored them.
You want to get out of here?
She asked.
Or should I give you my quote first?
Heath chuckled.
Sweetheart, I can afford any price. Let's go.
She pushed him back gently, then turned to me.
What about your brother? He looks like he shouldn't be alone tonight.
I turned back to them.
I don't do threesomes, at least not with men.
She chuckled.
Not what I meant.
She turned in another direction, then nodded to someone. Another brunette emerged, another stunning beauty. With long brown hair and green eyes, she looked similar to Cassini in some ways, but those similarities also highlighted their differences.
You look lonely.
I wasn't lonely, I was just alone.
How about the four of us get out of here?
The first brunette asked.
I'm sure we can arrange a discount.
That was why I liked prostitutes. Everything was a transaction. There was no small talk. They didn't even pretend to like you. They were blunt, talking about my favorite subject, money. Most people had no respect for whores, but I did. They were entrepreneurs, doing a job that required a strong level of emotional intelligence. They had to read their partners carefully to make sure they weren't dangerous. The second brunette came to me and stood between my knees. Her hands glided over my shoulders, and her perfume surrounded me. She had a tiny waist, big tits that were obviously fake, and sexy legs that extended for days.
You look like you need a pick-me-up.
Yes, I was miserable. That much was obvious. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't interested. I wanted to go back to meaningless sex, when it was just about getting off without actually feeling anything. But the idea of being with another woman hurt too much. I felt like I was betraying Cassini, even though we were over. Jerking off was much easier because I couldn't feel guilty because I thought of her. Not interested. I finished my drink and left the cash on the counter. But I'm sure my brother would love two women for the night. He can afford it. I walked away from her touch and headed out the door, regretting my decision, but also feeling relieved by it. I'd never loved a woman before, and I'd never known how painful it could be. I regretted loving her, regretted falling so hard for her. The bed was so uncomfortable without her. It was the same mattress, but it felt like a bed of rocks. When I took her from Lucien, it was just a power play. I wanted to enjoy her and make my enemy suffer. But now I knew I'd loved her, even then. I'd loved her for a long time. I remembered the moment I fell in love with her. The moment was so vivid. It felt like it happened yesterday. I sat in the bar with a drink in my hand. My eyes fell on the most beautiful green eyes, vibrant and lovely like a forest. Her tongue massaged the olives in her mouth, and she looked at me like she'd never seen a sexier man in her life. I knew she wasn't a prostitute, although I couldn't explain why. Somehow I knew she was just a woman who wanted me, a woman I would have by the end of the night. It was impossible for me to love her already in that moment when we hadn't spoken a word to each other. She had a wedding ring on her left hand, so she was unavailable. But when I retraced our time together, I always ended up at that moment when I fell in love with my woman.
Chapter 19. Balto. I woke up with my face pressed against the kitchen table. A bottle of scotch was beside my hand, along with a tipped-over glass. I slowly sat up, feeling the muscles aching from sitting in a weird position for so long. My hands dragged down my face as my eyes slowly acclimated to the afternoon sunlight. A headache burned behind my eyes. I swiped the sleep from my eyes and stared at the half-empty bottle I'd devoured the night before. I found myself sleeping at the kitchen table most nights because I preferred it to the bed where she used to sleep. My floor was so quiet now that she was gone. All the junk food I never ate had been thrown away. Her toothbrush was left behind in my drawer, but I didn't have the strength to discard it. Instead, I tortured myself when I looked at it every day. Now my existence revolved completely around work, the only distraction powerful enough to stop me from thinking about Cassini. I opened the bottle and took a drink, remembering the dream I'd had last night. The dream I'd had about her. I always dreamed about her. My phone rang in my pocket, and since it was one of my men guarding the compound, I answered. What?
Sir, Cassini just entered the premises. She's requested to enter the elevator and see you. Should I let her through?
I stayed on the phone and stared straight ahead at nothing in particular. His words came in perfectly clear, and I understood every single one. But I still couldn't move. The woman I'd just been thinking about was on my property, wanting to see me.
Did she still want me? Was that why she was here? Did she miss me as much as I missed her? What would happen if she came up here? What would she say? What would I say? When I'd made my decision the day she left, I knew it was final. I could never change my mind because there was no future. If I turned weak now, we would end up in bed together, and I'd wind up exactly where I didn't want to be. I had to be cold, I had to be cruel. I had to get rid of her for good. Yes, send her up. I hung up the phone and left it on the table. My heart slammed against my ribs as I walked to the elevator, my body aching with pain. The adrenaline was the same as the kind I felt right before a fight. I was livid she was there, livid she was torturing me like this. I said it was over. Over. I couldn't have her in my life if I was the Skull King, and I wouldn't have much of a life if I wasn't the Skull King. There was no possibility that made sense. There was no way we could have a future. The elevator beeped before the doors opened. Then she stepped out, wearing dark jeans and a loose-fitting black sweater. Just as beautiful as the last time I saw her, she stole my entire focus. Her full lips were painted with her favorite shade of lipstick. Her green eyes were highlighted by the sexy makeup she wore. The strands I used to fist dangled around her shoulders. She stared at me with those stunning, unblinking eyes. She was more beautiful than I remembered, more beautiful than the ghost that starred in my dreams. My hands turned into fists at my sides because I couldn't decide what I wanted to do first, kiss her, hug her, or fuck her. But I couldn't do any of those things. She came closer to me, moving slowly, like staring at me affected her as much as it affected me. Her shoes tapped lightly against the hardwood floor, and she stopped close to me, significantly shorter than I was. Her eyes roamed over my body, seeing my chiseled abs and my hard chest. When her eyes met mine again, there was unmistakable longing in her gaze. Fuck, I missed her. Minutes passed, and we said nothing to each other, enjoying the break from our mutual misery. This visit would only hurt me once she was gone, but it was nice to enjoy her in that moment, to see her with my own two eyes. She looked down for a second as she spoke.
I'm sorry to barge in on you like this. I just wanted to talk to you about something. I know you said there was no future for us, and you're devoted to your life as the Skull King, but...
I haven't changed my mind, Cassini. This visit would only hurt us both. I couldn't let her have a false sense of hope. My hands wanted to drag her into the bedroom and enjoy her, but that would just make this harder on both of us. I enjoyed hurting men who deserved it, but I didn't enjoy hurting her. Coming here was a stupid idea. You're just making it harder than it needs to be. I know where I belong, and you know where you belong. I'm not the kind of man that changes his mind. When I decide something, it's final.
Balto, that's not what this is.
Then if you're just here for sex, I'm not interested in that either. I hated myself for the way I spoke to her, but unless I was firm, even cruel, the relationship would never end. That will just make it more difficult for both of us. We're over, Cassini. I thought you were a stronger woman than this. I thought you were prouder than this. You shouldn't be crawling back to a man who left you. That's not the woman I used to know. Her eyes narrowed slightly, her rage coming through.
Maybe if you would just shut your mouth.
I don't want you. I stepped closer to her, getting in her face with the expression I showed my enemies. Her anger disappeared, quickly replaced by an expression of hurt. Good. I'd finally hit a button. We had what we had, but now it's over. We knew it was going to end. I warned you of that. You're stupid for ever thinking you would be enough to change my mind. My word is law. When I say something, I mean it. I'm the Skull King. I will always be the Skull King. I will never be what you want me to be, so get out and don't come back. Visit me again and I won't see you. This woman had saved my life and she didn't deserve to be disrespected like this. But I had to hurt her. If she hated me, it would make it easier for her. If she thought I was an asshole, she wouldn't want me. She'd find someone else and move on. Our relationship really would be in the past. She stared at me as her chest rose and fell deeply, her anger and frustration written all over her face. Her hand glided across her stomach absentmindedly, like my poisonous words gave her a stomachache. She shook her head slightly, then released a sad sigh.
Fair enough.
Chapter 20. Cassini. I walked in the door, my body feeling heavy like it was weighted with lead. I was sick to my stomach and not because I was pregnant. My exact fears came to life when Balto ordered me away. He was even colder than the last time I saw him. His bachelor life had obviously been good to him. He wanted nothing to do with me. And he wouldn't want anything to do with our baby either.
How'd it go?
Case rose from the couch in the living room and came toward me. When he saw the sadness in my eyes, his mouth dropped into a frown. I shook my head.
I expected more from him.
Why? He's the Skull King. He only cares about money and power. No wonder why he never told me he loved me. Maybe he never really loved me at all.
So you told him you were pregnant and he said he didn't care?
If I told Case the truth, he would make me march back down there. After the way Balto had treated me, I didn't even want him in my life anymore. I didn't want him to be the father of my child. It wouldn't be fair to either of us. I only wanted him here if he wanted to be here. Otherwise, he would just resent us. We were better off on our own. He would sacrifice everything to be a father, but his heart would be full of hatred. Basically, he crossed his arms over his chest and shook his head slightly.
I expected more out of him.
He made it clear what he wanted from the beginning. I'm not surprised at all.
I could talk to him.
Don't. I flashed him an angry look. Don't mention it to him at all. We don't need his pity. Case considered my request before he finally gave a nod.
I'm not looking forward to seeing him. He'll be by to collect his taxes in a few weeks.
And I'll make sure I'm not there when he does. When I'd set eyes on that beautiful man, I was pulled into the past. I wanted to get in his bed naked and feel his body on top of mine. I wanted him to kiss my stomach and vow to protect both of us forever. Instead, he kicked me out. I was trash that he didn't want. It didn't seem like he missed me at all. There wasn't even a hint of his old affection. He used me, enjoyed me, but now he wanted to move on. He'd probably been sleeping around this whole time. I meant nothing to him. If he got over me so fast, why couldn't I get over him as quickly? Now I would think of him every time I looked at our baby. The baby would have Balto's features and it would be impossible to deny. I'd loved a man who didn't deserve me, a man who betrayed me. And then I'd loved another man I could have sworn was the one, but he turned out to be an even bigger asshole. Why did I have the worst taste in men? I'm going to take a bath.
All right. I'll have dinner ready in a few hours.
I had no appetite, but I knew I had to eat. I stepped away. Case grabbed my arm and pulled me close. He cradled me into his chest and rubbed my back, his chin resting on my head.
He doesn't want to be there for you, but I do. You'll never be alone in this. Dirk and I will be the best uncles a kid could ask for.
I closed my eyes and felt the tears form under my lids. I know.
I love you, Sorella.
I could barely get the words out. I love you too. Chapter 21. Cassini. 2 months had come and gone, and now I was moving into my own apartment. I'd saved a lot of money over the years because Case and Dirk continued to pay me my share of the profits from the pasta business. As a result, I could afford to buy a nice two-bedroom apartment in Florence. It was at the top of the building and in a nice area, just a short walk to the pasta factory where I would work every day. Dirk carried my boxes into the apartment while Case put together the crib. I didn't know if I was having a boy or a girl, so I hadn't painted the walls just yet. All I had were the essentials like diapers, bottles, and onesies. Case completed the crib, then tested the integrity by giving a tug on the railing.
It's finished.
It looks great. I stood over the crib with my hand on my stomach, imagining my baby lying there in a few months. The baby probably wouldn't use the crib right away. I was certain I would be one of those moms who liked to have the baby right beside me every single night. Case gripped the edge with both hands and sighed under his breath. I knew what was coming next.
I don't like this.
He turned to me, his green eyes full of disappointment.
I don't like you being here by yourself, let alone with a baby. Stay with me. The house has plenty of space.
It was sweet that he wanted to take care of me, especially when he had his own life to live. Case, I can't live with you forever.
I understand that, but at least for the first year or two. Taking care of a baby by yourself will be impossible.
Mothers have been doing it since the dawn of time. I patted his arm.
With a husband,
he countered.
You're completely alone.
I wished Balto were doing this with me, even though he probably knew nothing about children. He was the only person I wanted, no one else. But he wasn't part of my life anymore. He wasn't part of my existence at all. We hadn't seen or spoken to each other since that terrible conversation in his apartment. If I need help, I'll call you.
It would be easier if I were there all the time.
Case, you have your own life. You didn't sign up for this.
So?
He demanded.
You're my family. Family is all that matters.
And we're still family while I live here. Having a baby around is going to completely disrupt your life. It'll cry every night, it'll be messy, and it'll stink. How are you going to bring women home with a screaming baby in the way? He shrugged.
At least you won't try to sleep over.
I rolled my eyes. Case, I'm fine. It's so sweet that you want me to stay.
I really do want you to stay.
He looked at me with desperation in his eyes.
You can't do this alone.
I can do this alone. Give me more credit, Case.
It's not that I think you're incompetent. It's just going to be so difficult to handle on your own. Parenting is meant to happen with two parents. And even with two parents, it's still hard.
I've survived worse. I can do this. He finally shut his mouth. If I need help, I'll ask. I promise. He gave a slight nod.
You're always welcome to come back if you change your mind.
I know. I kissed him on the cheek. Thank you for building the crib. My back isn't the same with this stomach. He eyed my belly.
You're definitely showing now.
My stomach was distended and large, and since the rest of my body was still petite, it made me look even more pregnant. I looked like I was 8 months along rather than five. Yeah, everyone wants to touch my stomach when I go to the grocery store. And the bank. It's weird. I would love to feel Balto's large hand against my stomach, for him to feel the life he put inside me. I needed to forget that dream. It would never happen.
That is weird.
He grabbed the thin mattress and placed it in the bottom along with the sheets and pillow.
Have any names picked out?
I haven't even considered it.
You've got time. When will the doctor tell you what the sex is?
She can tell me any time. I just haven't wanted to know.
Really?
He asked.
Why not?
I shrugged. I'm not sure. I guess I'm just not ready to deal with that. When I know the sex, I'll start to think about how I'll raise them, and it'll just feel more real.
Why don't you want it to feel real?
Right now it's just about preparing, picking out baby clothes and setting up the crib. But once the baby is here, everything will be different. I'll live my life completely for another person. Nothing will ever be the same.
Yeah, it's a big responsibility. It's normal to be scared.
I'm not scared. I just know everything will be different. I worked at the dining table and handled the accounting so Case could work on other things. Now that I was so large, it was difficult for me to stand on my feet all day. My knees hurt, and my lower back was strained. Case came out of the kitchen and headed right toward me.
Balto is here.
I did a double take. He is?
He just walked in. If you don't want to see him, I suggest you hide. You have less than a minute.
The last thing I wanted was for him to see me. He'd take one look at my belly and know I was pregnant, and he would probably assume it was his. That would introduce a conversation I didn't want to have. I ditched the chair and went through the door that led into the hallway. A second later, I heard his voice, deep and powerful. The second he entered the room, his presence filled every corner. His shadow extended over everything and everyone.
Case.
Case couldn't mask his hatred. It was obvious in just his tone.
I've got your money.
He made some movements, then set the heavy bag on the dining table on top of the invoices.
It's all there.
I expected to hear Balto's footsteps as he walked away. But he stayed still.
You want to count it?
Case asked, being a smartass as always. My brother was one of the few people I knew who wasn't afraid to stand up to Balto. He'd always been that way, even before he knew I was involved with him.
I saved your life, in case you've forgotten.
As always, Balto hinted at threats without actually making them.
And you hurt my sister, in case you've forgotten. Trust me,
Balto answered.
I haven't forgotten.
There was an enormous period of silence. Neither of the men moved. They probably stared at each other, the testosterone rising in the room like heat to the ceiling.
Is she here?
Balto asked.
No.
Case blurted out the lie and seemed convincing.
She told me she gets a cut of this place. I assumed this was where she would work. You asked if she was here, not if she worked here.
Case continued to let his hatred be known.
And it's really none of your business where she works. I don't see why you care anyway. All you care about is money, and there's a big bag of it right there. Get the fuck out.
Just listening to this conversation made me uneasy. I imagined the two strong men standing tall and proud. With equal pride, they stared each other down. Balto spoke again.
How is she? She's great. Never better.
Balto was quiet again.
Is she seeing anyone?
Case didn't answer.
Get out! I'm done with this conversation. I just want to know if she's okay. And that's none of your concern, Balto. You dumped her, so she's not your problem. I didn't dump her. Call it what you want. She's doing great without you. It took a while for her to get there, but she made it. Whether she's seeing someone or not, she's in a good place. From now on, we only discuss money. So take your tax and get out of my face.
Balto grabbed the bag, then his footsteps sounded as he walked out. They grew fainter and fainter until he was gone. I waited another moment before I returned to the main room. My brother stood next to the table, his arms crossed over his chest. He stared at the hallway where Balto had just disappeared, as if he expected him to reappear any moment. I slowly came to his side.
It seems like he's having second thoughts.
Or maybe he just feels guilty. Balto was a bigger asshole than Lucien ever was.
I think he was hoping to see you.
He saw me when I came to his apartment and he didn't care at all.
Asking if you're seeing someone. Seems like he's jealous.
Well, I'm not seeing anyone but a pint of ice cream at night, so there's nothing to be jealous of. He turned to me.
He came here for money, but all he wanted to talk about was you. For a man who doesn't care, it seems like he cares a lot. It seems like he misses you.
He didn't miss me, and I didn't miss him. I'd have to make sure to avoid him until I had the baby. He could never know about my pregnancy. It would make everything complicated if he did. I didn't want him bothering me out of obligation, only in case he wanted to be there. But that ship had sailed.
Chapter 22. Balto. Denise brought another drink. Heath tried to shoo her away.
He's had enough, Denise.
No, he hasn't. I snatched the drink from her hand and let the liquid drip down my throat. She walked away, not caring if I had too much to drink or not. She wouldn't question me. When I set the glass down, Heath took it away.
I'm cutting you off.
No one cuts me off.
There's a first time for everything.
He swirled my drink before he downed the rest of it. Like consuming it himself would ensure I couldn't get my hands on more liquor.
I've never seen you drink like this.
I drink like this all the time.
Well, you've raised the bar.
My vision was slightly blurry and I had a hard time focusing my thoughts. I'm exactly the same, you're exaggerating.
You aren't exactly the same, your eyes are fading.
he continued to study me, like he could see other signs of my drunkenness.
I should get you home before the other guys notice. They've never seen you drunk. Don't want tonight to be the first time.
I'm not drunk. I don't get drunk. He pulled out his phone and held it so I could see the screen.
Cooperate with me, or I'll call Cassini.
I slowly turned to him, provoked by the threat. And say what?
Everything you don't want me to say.
He continued to hold the phone.
Now get your ass up and come with me. Call my bluff, and you'll regret it.
I sighed to myself and rubbed the migraine at my temple. Alcohol usually stopped my headaches, so I'd obviously drunk too much. Even though my thoughts were cloudy, I knew I had overdone it. I knew I'd been drinking too much every single day. I'd always been a heavy drinker, but these new habits were destroying my liver even more. All right, put your phone away. He placed his phone in his pocket.
Let's go.
He drove me home, then rose in the elevator to my floor. The doors opened and we both stepped inside.
I'm worried about you.
I kicked off my boots, then moved to the couch, barely able to stand because the room was spinning. I did my best to pretend everything was normal, that I could stand on my own 2 feet. Your worry is unnecessary.
Is it?
He came toward me, his hands resting in his pockets.
Cassini has been gone over 3 months, and in that amount of time, you've slipped further and further into this black hole. I've known you my entire life, witnessed every dark period in your life, but this tops the list.
Alcohol usually helped me not think about Cassini, but right now, it made me think about her harder, with more emotion. The longing was powerful, and I felt stranded without her. I would have thought that 3 months would be long enough for me to forget about her. I think I loved her even more. Heath kept staring at me.
How many women have you slept with?
I shrugged. Too many to count? He shook his head slightly.
None.
You don't know what you're talking about.
And you don't lie, so why are you lying now?
My gaze turned to the floor, the shame moving through my veins.
Cut the bullshit and make this right. Get her back. I can't believe you let this go on so long.
Even if I wanted her, I couldn't have her. So much time had passed that she was probably with someone else. I saw Case last week. I asked about her. He said she was doing well. I asked if she was seeing someone, and he refused to answer.
Who cares if she's seeing someone or not? Never stopped you before.
Heath, I was such an asshole to her.
You're always an asshole. She's used to it.
I shook my head. This was different.
And she still loves you. I know she does.
I lifted my gaze to look at his. Why do you think that?
Because when she thought you were going to die, she was a complete mess. She wouldn't stop sobbing, and she was ready to bash my head in if I got in the way of her rescue plan.
That was months ago.
Doesn't matter. People don't risk their lives like that unless it's real. Grow some balls and get your woman back.
I rose to my feet, doing my best to stand upright. I can't. Nothing has changed. He rolled his eyes.
You're the Skull King, and you're miserable. Fucking miserable.
The job doesn't make me miserable.
But not having her does. I think the decision is pretty clear. You can live without the Skull Kings, but you can't live without her.
Chapter 23. Cassini. Case, I'm not going on a date. I sat at the table with him across from me. He was eating lunch while I took care of the accounting. As my pregnancy had progressed, my appetite had changed. There were only certain things I was willing to eat, and unfortunately, pasta was something the baby didn't want.
Why not? Alessandro has always had a thing for you.
And I'm sure my pregnant belly is a big turn-on, I said sarcastically.
I told him and he doesn't care.
I raised an eyebrow.
The only thing he cared about was if you had a man in your life. I told him the father of your baby didn't want to be part of your kid's life, so he's gone.
Alessandro was a good-looking guy. He was my brother's age, and I'd met him a few times. I'd always found him attractive, but I was never single when he was single. Even so, it's too soon for me to be dating.
Too soon? He asked incredulously. It's been 3 months.
Yeah, but...
A month would have been long enough. Balto is a fucking asshole. Don't wait around for him.
I'm not waiting for anything. I just don't think it's fair to Alessandro. Maybe Balto isn't around anymore, but I still think about him. How is that fair?
Everyone is always hooked on someone at any given time. I'm sure Alessandro is still sleeping with someone until he finds the next best thing. That's how the real world works. Stop making excuses.
I'm not making excuses.
It sounds like it.
I'm going to have a baby in a few months. I'll be too busy to date someone.
Not true. Uncle Case and Uncle Dirk can babysit any time. You need to put yourself out there and find a good man.
Why is this so important to you? He sighed before he answered.
If you won't live with me, then I want you to end up with someone. I want someone to take care of you. I hate Balto, but when you were with him, it was a relief. I knew he could take care of you. I knew he would protect you. But he's not around anymore.
Case, that's sweet, but I don't need a man to take care of me.
Not true.
He shook his head.
Balto always kept you safe, and that was one of the reasons you loved him.
That was true. I couldn't stand it when he left at night. And if it weren't for him, I would have died as Lucian's wife. I never would have known freedom. There's only one Balto, and no other guy will compare. Case was going to argue more, but my phone rang. I looked at the screen and noticed Heath's name. I've got to take this. I took the call. Heath, everything all right? I hadn't spoken to Heath since before Balto dumped me. He wouldn't call me for a chat. He would only call me if something were wrong. Case dropped his pen and stared at me, obviously tense that the phone call was taking place.
It's been a while, huh?
He asked.
How are you?
Fine. What about you?
I've been better. Worried about Balto.
Why are you worried about him?
Because he's a loose cannon. He's been drinking too much. And for Balto, that means he's drinking a lot. He should get a blood test and see how his liver is doing.
And you're telling me this why?
Cassini, you know why. He's doing all of this because of you.
When he'd come to the factory last week, he had questioned Case about me. It seemed like he cared. He was much softer than he was when he yelled at me in his apartment. I don't know what you want me to do about it.
He's miserable without you.
If only that were true. I think you're misreading him.
Trust me, I'm not.
No, trust me, I said. You are.
If I'm wrong, why hasn't he slept with anyone in 3 months?
The idea of him sleeping alone lifted a weight from my chest. Every time I pictured him with someone else, I felt sick to my stomach. It made me want to cry a million tears. Maybe it seems that way from the outside, but...
I'm with him all the time. We hit the bars together almost every night, and he always goes home alone. He gets plenty of offers, but he turns them down each and every time. The guy is a walking zombie. I've never seen him hit rock bottom like this.
Even if everything Heath said was true, there was nothing I could do. Why are you telling me all of this?
Because I was hoping you would talk to him.
That's never going to happen. I'd told him I loved him even when he dumped me. Then I'd tried to tell him I was pregnant, but all he wanted to do was remind me how much of an asshole he was.
Because you're over him? I don't believe that.
No. I went to his place a few months ago to talk, but he threw me out. If he really wants to be with me again, he needs to be a man and fight for me. He needs to get on his knees and beg me to take him back. And even then, I'm not sure I would.
He hurt you pretty bad, huh?
He killed me, Heath. You have no idea. Growing his child inside me every single day just made me miss him more. Regardless of how much I hated him now, I would always love him because he was the father of my child.
Yeah. I know.
So don't call me and tell me how much he's suffering. If he wants me back, he needs to do it himself.
He didn't ask me to make this phone call, Cassini. He has no idea I called you. I just wanted you to know that the man is falling apart. Instead of getting better as the breakup goes on, he's getting worse. He's not fucking anyone. He prefers to drink and hide away in his apartment. He's still doing his job with the Skull Kings, but his heart isn't in it anymore. I don't understand why he's being so stubborn, but he continues to lie to himself.
Yes, he's the most stubborn man I've ever met. He sighed into the phone.
You know, I remember when you'd only been living with him a few weeks and we were in the gym together. I told him that he loved you, that it was written all over his face. He wouldn't admit it to me, but he wouldn't deny it either. That was a long time ago, long before you fell in love with him. I don't know why he struggles to be open about his feelings. He's the most fearless man in the world, unafraid of anything. But when it comes to this, he doesn't get it. He's afraid to give his heart to someone. He's afraid to sacrifice his lifestyle for someone else. I don't understand it.
Because he's too proud. He cares more about his reputation. He wants his life to be what it was.
Well, that's never going to happen, Heath said. Too much has changed.
And yet, he still hasn't come after me. He turned quiet. And I don't think he will, Heath. He was so vicious to me the last time I saw him. Maybe turning me away killed him, but that didn't matter. He believes in his principles too much, which is fine. But I'm not going to wait around for him to make up his mind. I have a date tonight, actually.
You do?
He blurted.
I didn't realize you were seeing people.
Well, this is my first date. He's a friend of my brother's. We've known each other for a few years.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Heath. I loved Balto with my whole heart. I told him even when he didn't say it back. I risked my life to save his because I couldn't live without him. I can't count the number of times I asked him to reconsider. Then I went to his house with my heart on my sleeve, and he stabbed me in the gut. It's time for me to move on.
Yeah, I get it.
And don't expect me to feel bad for him. This is happening because of him, and whatever pain he feels, I feel it a million times worse.
Nervous?
Case drove me to the restaurant, even though it was walking distance. We left the pasta factory and drove through the narrow streets. I wore a pink sundress with a jean jacket, my long hair curled and down my shoulders. It was obvious I was pregnant, but my jacket hid most of my belly from view. I wore nude pumps, ready to enjoy the warm springtime. A little. I can't remember the last time I went on a date, like a normal date. Having dinner with Balto that one time didn't exactly qualify because of the shootout.
Alessandro knows this is your first date in a long time, so he'll keep it light. I laid out my ground rules.
What kind of ground rules?
I told him not to kiss you or try to sleep with you. Only a handshake is permitted.
I rolled my eyes. If I don't want to kiss him or sleep with him, I can just tell him that myself. He pulled up to the curb in front of the restaurant.
Or I can do the dirty work for you. Now have fun.
I got out of the car and approached the patio where the tables were. A short white wall surrounded the area, allowing a view from the street. I spotted him sitting there wearing a collared shirt and dark jeans. He had dark hair, a thick shadow across his jawline, and he had deep brown eyes that resembled espresso. He was lean and fit and obviously handsome. It surprised me that he would date a pregnant woman when he could have anyone he wanted. Hey, Alessandro. He smiled when he saw me and rose to his feet.
You look beautiful.
Just as he promised my brother, he greeted me with an awkward handshake.
I would hug you, but Kay said that was out of bounds. I hope a boring and stiff handshake is good enough.
I chuckled. It's a little excessive, but since he's probably watching us, let's just go with it. He smiled, then pulled out my chair for me. It was a gentlemanly move I hadn't expected since I'd never been with a gentleman. Evan, Lucian, and Balto never did those things. He sat across from me, still smiling.
Pregnancy definitely suits you. You know that glow everyone always talks about? You have it.
Aw, thank you. I smiled and grabbed my menu. Other than the morning sickness and back pain, it's been pretty wonderful.
How far along are you?
5 months now, approaching 6.
So the baby will be here soon. Are you ready?
I chuckled. I don't think any first-time parent is ready, and I'm definitely not ready for labor. I wish they could just put me under and then take the baby out. He chuckled.
You and every other woman in the world.
So enough about me. What's new with you? It was surprising that Alessandro didn't care about my pregnancy, but it was even more surprising that he wanted to hear about it. I thought it would be smart to change the subject.
Work is the same,
he said.
I still live here in town. The most interesting thing going on in my life is Case telling me that you're available. I've had a thing for you since...
He shook his head slightly.
Since I laid eyes on you. So I'm really happy to be here, to sit across from you and see that you're still just as beautiful as I remember.
Speechless, I just stared at him, surprised that a man could be so affectionate and sweet. He wanted me so much that he didn't care I was knocked up by someone else. He didn't care about my crazy story. Nothing seemed to matter at all. Meanwhile, the man I loved was too stubborn that we had spent the last 3 months apart. I was pregnant with his baby and alone, and if he dropped his bullshit, he would actually see that. And if he didn't drop his bullshit soon, he would be too late. He might already be too late.
Chapter 24. Balto. I finished my workout and showered. I'd laid off on the liquor for the last few days because I was starting to feel sick. Sick enough that I couldn't perform if something really serious happened to the Skull Kings. I felt better after the detox, but I also felt lost without booze. I sat on the couch in my sweatpants, vaguely remembering the last conversation I'd had with Heath. It seemed like all we ever talked about was Cassini. I couldn't recall what I'd said to him. The elevator beeped before the doors opened. Heath stepped into my apartment in jeans and a t-shirt. He stared at me on the couch as he came closer, wearing that look of pity on his face. Stop looking at me like that.
Like what?
Like you think I'm pathetic.
Well, I do think you're pathetic.
I raised an eyebrow. There's a gun under my table. You want me to grab it?
Depends. Are you sober enough to shoot straight?
Fuck you. He chuckled.
You're actually sober. Can't remember the last time that happened.
Neither can I. I'd kill for a drink in my hand.
I'm glad you laid off.
It was interrupting my work. Heath looked disappointed.
And that's all that matters to you?
I'm not a very good king if I'm too drunk to kill.
I'm guessing you don't.